And the show gets underway. Glad that you could drop by with us. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
I'm Raj Taylor.
I'm Michael Loudon.
Wonder producer.
Wonder producer, of course. I didn't know whose job that was today to mention that particular
I figured today
factoid.
Is an even day, and it's my job.
Okay.
You can do it on odd days.
Odd days, okay. I have to remember that. Okay, is it an odd day, and is he here?
Yes. Well, if he's here, it is odd on some level.
That's true.
Yeah, I can be a little quirky.
That's true. Well, you know, I have to say your choice of clothing today.
Yes.
Because I haven't seen you in Bronco material before.
Is that a Bronco hat?
Denver Broncos, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Which, granted, I don't see you outside the office, so I don't know what you put on otherwise. But I've seen an awful lot of U of M stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, all right, he's a Michigan fan, okay. Then I see this Bronco stuff, and I'm like, man, where'd that come from?
Is there a reason he's wearing that today?
Yes, they won the AFC Championship game yesterday over the New England Patriots, and they are heading to the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes, I wear my Peyton Manning jersey every Sunday.
Okay.
Do you ever wash it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I just, you know, these things
yes,
pop
good.
Into my mind.
No, it's not all dirty and soiled and things like that.
Hey, good. Look, wing sauce on the eight there.
Couple of beer stains.
Yeah. Couple of grass stains. I went out and played football in it.
See?
So I'm learning new things all the time. I come walking in, look across the studio, and it's like, Broncos. Okay. That's different. All right.
I thought that was some sort of new Western Broncos hat.
No.
No.
I should have known by the orange background.
Not unless they changed their colors recently.
Wrong colors all the way around.
Yeah, but it's got a horse's head.
Yeah, it kind of looks similar to Western's logo, but not entirely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was close enough to confuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, there is one of those teams playing a lot better than the other right now. We won't mention, but people know.
So. Yeah.
But let's not mention.
Of course not. Of course not. Well, great day ahead. Lots of things that we're going to be talking about. A little bit later in the program, Roger, we're going to be talking about they make a list every year of the worst internet passwords that people use.
These would be passwords that you shouldn't use.
Pretty much, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, these are okay.
These are the ones that make your stuff totally unsecure. So a little later in the program, we'll go over some of these. And if you hear your password, I will only encourage you this. Go change it.
Yes. Yeah, if we give out your password over the air.
You are at risk.
Yes.
If you hear this particular one on the list, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably ought to go and sign in and change the password. So
sooner versus later.
So and we're going to be looking into that a little bit later on in the program. Plenty of other stuff going on, but right now we have an opportunity to talk with someone who not only is he, a Michigander,
yeah,
in terms of business and
uh-huh.
Has a lot of knowledge about the state, a lot of knowledge about the restaurant business. He also
is a local businessman.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And he also now has a lot of business about writing books. We're talking about Tommy Brand. His book is Mind Your Own Business. He's on the show with us. Welcome, Tommy.
Hey, hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on the show.
Glad to have you here. Now, Tommy, I have to apologize in advance because I didn't get a chance to read your book. I let Roger borrow it, and he hasn't brought it back. So I only assume that he just got hooked by the thing.
Yeah.
Well, don't feel bad. My wife hasn't read it yet, so don't feel bad. I'm not kidding.
In my house, my wife probably would never read it because she lived through it in the first place. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I agree with just what you said. It's owning a restaurant, there's a lot of drama in it, and it's a lot of hard work.
How many restaurants do you have at this point?
We have 10, and a couple of my franchise, which my nephew owns.
Okay. I've eaten in the one here in Kalamazoo and in the one that is in Macomb.
Right, yes.
Yeah. So I've eaten in a couple of your restaurants.
Well, thank you.
What's the restaurant business like these days?
Well, you know, my dad started in 1941, downtown Grand Rapids. He had a stag bar. Back then, no one allowed 5-cent drafts, 10-cent shots of whiskey, played poker there, had corned beef sandwiches. And then my dad expanded into a regular restaurant. And back then in Grand Rapids, like 6 or 7 restaurants in Grand Rapids back in 1960. So what's like now, it's competitive. And you're only as good as your last meal you serve. It's a little corny phrase, but so true. If I serve a baked potato, you know, I'm out of there. You can lose a customer just because of cold bake. So it's just a very dangerous business, I would say, when it comes to something like that.
Mm-hmm. Have the last year, few years, basically during the Great Recession, were those particularly difficult years?
They were. We've always been, my dad brought us up to be very aggressive with pricing. I always said my dad, John Brand, was Applebee's before Applebee's were formed. He always believed in the blue-collar worker and giving them a meal, not just weekends, but Monday through Thursday also. So he had a Sizzler steak that he priced. Back then, it was $1.95 for lunch hour, and you would get salad and potato and garlic toast with it. So he always believed in that, and that's what made him really grow his business at John Brandt and Burton Heights.
Where do you see the business going in the future then? Are the days of fast food declining, or is the mid-range of restaurants, is that going to be a renewed focus for the industry?
Well, right now, fast casual is really hot, like Chipotle's, and, you know, I like Chipotle's when I go there. You can get in and out fast, and they got healthy food, so I think that's very positive for the industry. I think I remember the TGF's owner, president, said about 2 years ago, he said, you never see, like, regular pricing. It's always going to be, by discounting aggressive pricing, the Mountain Jacks, you know, the high-priced places are going to be, it's hard to survive. You're not going to see too many of those. So I think it's good for the consumer because it's going to be competitive and good pricing, affordable for them to eat out. But it's hard for us because we have to watch every penny.
Now, Tommy, you wrote the book "Mind Your Own Business." What was your the impetus for writing that book?
Well, I've been in my place 42 years on Division Street in Wyoming, and I'm not trying to be a big martyr here, but I probably left that place 150 days in 42 years. I even got married on Sunday, so I wouldn't have to miss Saturday night's business. Unbelievable! I'm still married too, if you want to believe that. So, that's how dedicated I've been to this business. And I remember one time I used to live in a motel, which was right on my property. I had a 10-unit motel. I remember one time I fell asleep in the front lobby after I closed my bar because I was so tired. So I had to write it. I had to tell how hard it is to run a small business and how hard it is to run a restaurant. And it's just not me. It's all small business owners. It's just when you take that risk, it's just something you have to – it's tough.
Is it easier to be a relatively, not that 10 restaurants is trivial, but does that make you more agile and better able to compete than the bigger chains who have to get a bunch of franchisees to agree?
That's a great question, and it should be. And that's, I'm the president of the company, but we do move, even brands move too slow. I mean, we're working on a menu now, and I work with my brothers and another partner, and we work a little bit by democracy, and democracy is not the best way to work sometimes. And so we do move too slow too, but we can move faster than Applebee's and TJS. Yes, that's true, but I don't think we move fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So since things are changing so much, I mean, how do you get your business to move as fast as business changes these days?
Well, We meet once a week, and we'll bring our younger people into it, our younger servers, because the millennials are very important to our business and our future customers. And so we're getting their input, and we meet with we're a Gordon Food Service. We work with Gordon Food Service chefs, and they help us with the menu items. We sell 47%. We sell of our sizzling steaks. That's 47% of our sales are steaks. So the other parts are important to us, but but we're always moving those a little bit and making them agile. My main focus is I'm on a quality food, less quantity. And if you ever watch, I don't watch these shows like Hell's Kitchen. I can't, man, when I'm home, that's the last thing I'll watch. But
don't blame you.
I know. But they do say, limited menus better because you have better quality. You can focus on things. I think our menu's too big. So we're working on getting some of the items off and just having quality food.
Tommy, one of the other things that, I'm just a guy that sits back and watches the business and sees different places come and go. I mean, do you feel like that the best thing you can do is just stay focused on the stuff you're good at and not try and be imitator of everyone else?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with being an imitator, though. Because look at Bud Light. I mean, they copied Miller Lite. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can actually, get ideas from other companies. But you are so right on that one. I am a big Steve Jobs fan. And when Steve Jobs came back to his company, he cut 20 divisions and focused on his core, what they did right. I mean, I think one thing they were doing, cameras. He said, what are we doing selling cameras? I mean, that's not us. So I keep our company focused on what we do, the food. And actually, we're actually looking at a new slogan about, making food number one for us.
Tommy, there's been lots of talk here recently about increasing the minimum wage. Restaurants are commonly brought up at the same time as increasing minimum wage. What are your thoughts?
Well, we have that's a touchy one because I can look at like a guy with a black hat on, and I'm the worst guy in the world, even though I'm the one that's taking a risk. First of all, I'd like to see every elected official have to own a business before they go down the Lansing in Washington, D.C. I think that would solve a lot of our problems. I also think free enterprise has to be introduced into the high school system so people understand the whole capitalism, and it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Back in about 15 years ago, I was paying $8.25 for dishwashers. I was begging for them because the free market was working. McDonald's had on their sign, $8.25, we need help. The free market does work. I mean, I don't even have that many minimum wage people. I probably have maybe three or four. And, I've got to tell you the truth, some of them are, I mean, one person came in an hour late because he had a hangover. I had to send him home. I mean, I'm sorry, but some they have to have some responsibility to get ahead at any job, because I want this guy who came in with a hangover. I'd like him to be a cook, really, but he's not going to be a cook if he doesn't show up on time. So I think you have to advance yourself and not ask the government to keep advancing you. But if it goes up, that's why you see self-serve gas stations, because, I mean, I still got to pay my bills and property taxes. Last year, our seven restaurants paid $153,000 in unemployment tax to the state of Michigan. $153,000 we paid because, we're not us, but the whole state is making up for what we owe the federal government. So we social justice, yes. Our seven restaurants last year paid over $600,000 for Social Security and Medicare for our employees. I am proud of that. But social justice, I'm there. I don't just talk about it, sit on the sidelines, I do it. Minimum wage goes up, I'm probably washing dishes a little bit more, because I'm going to have to watch my bottom line. And that's
Like you, I found when I had a business that I couldn't pay minimum wage and get the quality worker I needed in my store. And so I paid above minimum wage. And you have to know the level of talent you need in your store, and you have to pay for what you need. Do you have many long-term employees?
Oh, I am proud to say. It's in my book, too, Mind Your Own Business. I'm getting to be like an author, mentioned my book a couple of times since you guys only said it once.
We'll bring it up again, Tommy.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm getting good at this.
Product placement, I think that's what it's called.
are you holding up a book as we speak?
I actually do have one in my hand. I have Jenny's been with me 36 years, started as a waitress. I have about 10 people have been with me over 20 years, 10 to 20 years. So, yes, I have a lot of long-term people. I'm proud of that, too. And I'm proud that, you know, that they like working for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tommy, talking about your book, Mind Your Own Business. Yeah, put the title in there for you. But in talking about your book, this is not just a book that you hope restaurateurs will learn from, but a lot of small business people. Is that right?
I do. I have some business lessons in there. And I'm sending them to talk show hosts and business shows. And yes, I think there is some lessons in there. It's not about me 100%. I mean, do I have an ego? Of course. But it's not about me 100%. It's about my dad, how he got started, the risk he took, and it's about other businesses. The people that endorsed it. I'm really proud to have Vic DeBoss from Amway endorse it, but I also have Don Tense, a felon that I hired. That I gave a break and gave him a job for a couple of years. He worked for me, so I got him endorsing it too. So I'm really proud of this book because it hits a wide range of subjects, but it is all about business. It does have drama because it talks about running my business and some of the things I had to go through, good and bad and ugly.
But you're right. The title is not about restaurants; it's running a business.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, so we've been talking with Tommy Brand. He is a restaurateur, businessman, and author as well. Mind Your Own Business, the name of the book. Tommy, I know you can pick it up on Amazon because I'm looking at their screen right now with it on here, but are there some other places people can pick it up?
Well, I'm trying not to sell at my restaurant now because I want to do it like the big boys do. So I got it at Schuler's Bookstore on 28th Street. Mm-hmm. We're having a book signing at 7 o'clock Thursday on Schuler's at 28th Street. And you can pick it up at Schuler's. And we're still working at some other outlets. And, of course, I sold about 20 in my restaurant when people have asked for it. So, I mean, I feel like Tom Cruise a little bit. Like, people ask for my autograph. And I don't look like him, but I feel like him.
Well, hopefully you're not jumping on Oprah's couch or anything.
No, if I go that far, you rein me in, please. So,
is it in any bookstore in the Kalamazoo area?
No, it's not. I mean, you know, I'm tempted just to drive down there and throw it in there free and let so I can have some representation there. But no, it's not. Yeah, I'm working on it. I mean, Do I think I'm going to have another Harry Potter book here? I doubt it, but I really like to see people. I'm not going to make any money off this, but I like to see people read it because I think it's something people can learn from.
Yeah, it gives people insight to a local business that's been around for years and putting it into some sort of context. I think it's a great book. I'm about halfway through. And I've actually enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, Tommy.
I enjoyed listening to your show earlier while I was on the phone. You guys sound like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. More than anyone should be allowed to.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I mean, I enjoy the show. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Right. Have a good one.
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye, Jeremy.
Okay, so Tommy
nice
Brand.
Guy.
Yeah, nice mm-hmm. guy.
Very nice.
Class
yeah.
act.
Yes.
And book signing, I guess that's in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it's on
later
this
week,
28th so. Street, right across from the mall.
Mm-hmm.
East of or west of the Beltline on the south side.
And, of course, you can pick it up on Amazon as well. I'm looking at it there right now, so if you'd like to pick it up. I'm sure Tommy would appreciate that.
It'll come right to your home that way.
There you go. And mm-hmm. I think you'll appreciate some of the insights that you'll get in there, particularly if you're in small business. Program continues. Make sure you keep it right here. Program continues ahead. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, along with Roger Taylor and Bronco Boy is over there. Okay,
it's Michael. Martin Luther King Day.
It is.
We didn't get the holiday off.
No.
Can I make a request?
No.
No, you're already here.
Darn.
You're a little late.
Darn.
Come on, you know we're in the media. We never get all the holidays off.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
supposed to, you
okay,
know.
Okay. But it was. I was just going to suggest.
Great suggestion, uh-huh. but
Management can't make that happen. Huh?
Sadly, no.
I've heard those words before.
But yeah, I mean, and great to honor the legacy of Dr. King and all that he stood for, and that his legacy continues to stand for. So
yeah,
you know, I'm glad we have the day to be able to look at that and to remember, because I think it's a very important thing in the history of this country.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the people who 100 years from now will still be talking about and thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I won't be. I probably will be fertilizing daffodils.
Yes,
right. Point,
but, you and me both. But
news coming up. Keep it here. And the program continues. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
Rog Taylor on this side.
You know, Roger, I never ask.
Yes.
So don't tell me.
Okay.
It's routine. It's just routine.
Talk to the hand.
Of course.
Talk to the hand, the face don't
care. He's going to keep saying his name anyway, so it doesn't matter. So
yeah.
I guess I just have to put up with it. So.
Well, and we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
Fred Upton, congressman from the 6th District, studio with us.
Glad to be here.
Hi, Fred.
How are you doing? Actually, I asked you a professional question. So I loaded up my bird feeder.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't found it yet. So I'm hoping that the snow, you know, I got one of those little, it hangs from a tree, and I had to make it as the best squirrel proof that I could. So a couple trips to the house, it was a couple trips. Got that really thin wire snaking down, which I don't think the squirrels can get on.
Right. And makes it more difficult.
Yeah, it does. And then it's about 4 feet off the ground. Now, can they jump this? You know, the snow's getting up there a little bit.
You're right on the edge. Some
the squirrels haven't found it yet either.
Okay.
So that's my dilemma.
Some squirrels may be able to leap 4 feet from the ground.
And then it's
not all squirrels. So maybe you've got some Olympians.
I could send them to Sochi. We were talking about that off the air. So, and it's about probably about 6 feet from the trunk of the tree. So
that's
I think
fine.
That's okay.
Far enough. Your concern should be from the ground up.
All right.
At this
well,
point.
I made it a little higher because of the snow. I wrapped the thing around a couple more times.
And shovel the snow under it.
And
don't give them a head start.
Yeah. On the hill. Maybe I'll see him watching, running down the hill, and then jump. You know, maybe put a little high bar up there.
On a bobsled.
Yeah, on a bobsled. Yeah. So.
If nothing else, it could be entertaining.
Yeah.
So, but what is the best seed that I'd get right now? For
black oil sunflower seed.
Okay. Because I finished the bag that I had from the summer. So that's on the... I go to Martin's in St. Joe, so it's on my Martin's list.
Just use black oil sunflower. Every bird you'd want to see will eat that.
Yeah, we got some good cardinals.
Oh, yeah. They love it. So do the squirrels.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You're baiting them.
I'll give you a post-it next time I see you.
Okay.
So, well, we're going to be talking with Fred Upton here about all sorts of stuff, and we were talking about NSA that's been brought up on this very show in the last week or so. We're going to ask you some questions about that and just have a little confab here for the next little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to get into it right now, but sadly, Bob Larson is joining
us
here.
What's the word for the day?
Well, that's the question we have. And, you know, since he's such a weather expert and all of that stuff, we kind of want to defer to him and find out what's going on. So Bob, you're upstaging a congressman today.
It's okay.
I don't know if that's a good feeling or
that's
bad.
That's why they listen to me, because they know he's coming.
You got a warm-up act
today. I'm not sure people want to hear what I'm about to say today. So.
Oh, no.
Well, start with the word, then.
Well, the word, and I just changed the word within the last few minutes. I called an audible here using football terms since we're approaching the Super Bowl. I thought I'd relate to that. The word I had originally picked out was harsh. But the more I look at this, which incidentally I think I used about 2 weeks ago, so I try to keep it fresh, but the word that I've deferred to is extended, because this is going to be an extended, prolonged period of very cold weather and at times snowy weather, not just a day or two, not just a week or so, at least a couple of weeks of this.
Really?
So extended cold weather. Wow.
Yes.
Bundle up.
Not to say that each day is going to have a high of 9 and a low of 9 below. There will be some days where it at least gets to above 20, but I don't see anything resembling a thaw at any point for now through the rest of January.
What it's not often we have that long of an extended forecast you feel comfortable with. What's changed?
We're just locking things in the way the jet stream is positioning itself and what we refer to as upstream blocking. And again, you maybe you're thinking of football since I'm talking about blocking here, but talking about meteorology, blocking is the position of the upper level highs and lows when they tend to set up in a certain fashion. They kind of block a progression of the jet stream and everything just stays locked in place, which is a wonderful thing. If you're underneath an upper level ridge where it's warm and dry and sunny, it's a not so nice thing when you're underneath a trough of low pressure as we are and are going to be for the next week or two with a flow of air straight from the Arctic.
So what are we looking at in terms of temperatures the next couple of days? And are we looking at any snow as well? Because that obviously plays a huge factor.
All right, number one, temperatures headed for a low tonight of 5. Could be a little bit below zero in outlying areas, but not a huge range in temperature because it will stay cloudy. You get the biggest range in temperature on clear, calm nights. Not the case tonight, but at least single digits. Some areas may be single digits below. A high tomorrow of 12. Single digits again tomorrow night. Pretty confident that tomorrow night many areas will drop below zero outside of town. High Wednesday, again, 12. Again, single digits Wednesday night. By the end of the week, Friday into Saturday, I think we're at least back into the 20s. I wouldn't call that a thaw, but at least it is less harsh at that point. And then next week, back into the deep freeze again, and we can have another 2-3 nights below zero, maybe even colder than what we're talking about this week once we get to next week. Now, that's part one. Part two, the snow. Just a couple of snow showers tonight and tomorrow won't amount to much. Maybe an inch of snow on Wednesday. Potentially the most significant snow will be when a storm system moves through late Friday into early Saturday, maybe a few inches at that point, and maybe some lake effect behind it. But as we have discussed on numerous occasions, lake effect is going to become less of a factor now because of the way Lake Michigan is freezing over. There will be some, but should not be too substantial.
Okay, Bob, I just want to give you a thumbs up, though, today. What little thumbs up you'll get from us.
Yeah.
The word of the day was not Omaha, so I'm really happy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you said you called an audible, I was thinking Omaha.
Here he comes, right. No. I can use that for another day, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah. High pressure from Omaha.
Right.
So I can just picture it now.
Peyton loves that, yeah.
You know, I was going to say thanks, Bob, but I can't make those words come out.
It's understandable.
It's been good having you with us.
Comes with the territory.
But no thanks.
All right.
See ya.
We'll see ya.
All right, Bob Larson with AccuWeather. And as the show continues ahead, we've got Congressman Fred Upton. We're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. So you'll want to keep it right here. Show continuing ahead. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor as well. See, I said your name.
Thank you.
And Michael, the
Wonder
Bronco
producer.
Boy. I'm calling him Bronco Boy today.
Yeah.
But it's an even day. It's Michael. We went through this, Jeremy.
But
you'll have to get used to the rules at some other time.
They keep changing all the time.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
But we also have a special guest in the studio, Congressman Fred Upton, stopping by. It's my first chance to meet you, so yeah. I want to say it's a pleasure to have made your acquaintance. And hopefully after we get done here that you'll feel welcome anytime to stop by and share with us. One question that we wanted to start right off with, and this was based on the president made his comments about the NSA, and of course there's been a lot of hashing that back and forth. Now, I know you certainly have an angle on this as you've watched things unfold and how this works. You've got a little bit more of an informed opinion than some of the rest of us. So where do we go from here? What do you think the best course is?
Well, you know, and Roger asked me when I came in, do you think that this is appropriate for executive order if the Congress mm-hmm. doesn't act? No, I think the Congress does have to act. I think we have to. And I missed his speech on Friday. I was at a crazy. You know, I didn't hear what he said. I haven't really read much about it, but I will. We are going to have to do an Intelligence Authorization Act. I want to say before Easter this year. So that'll mm-hmm. be the opportunity where, on a bipartisan basis, we'll be able to have classified briefings and all the rest. Ask whatever question you want. Go out to the NSA if you want to, and I've done that, and really look at the changes that the president's proposing. And what it ought to be. And I think that the debate should be public. I think that people should vote their conscience. It should not be a party vote mm-hmm. one way or the other. And the merits should convince people, and you've got to have that debate. And hopefully that whatever the winning side is, convince the American public that that's the way to go as well. It's important in terms of what I believe, and I'm not a lawyer. A lot of people say good. but, you know, you have the Constitution, and there is the provision on, you know, search and seizure and, you know, mm-hmm. A proper warrant. In my view, for anyone connected with the government, particular, you know, whether it be the FBI or CIA, that's, you know, any U.S. citizen here in this country, yeah, you have to go through that process. You have to convince a court. The law enforcement agency has to convince the court to have that there is reason mm-hmm. for access to that information. And without it, you should be denied access to that the content of either the email or the phone calls, you know, the old wiretapping rules that we've had for mm-hmm. for a long time. And if there were abuses that were done, and my sense is that there were some, I don't think a lot, very small amount, but they need to be corrected. They need to, you know, they need enforcement on that. But we want to be safe. Hey, I was there on 9/11, and the view is that had they had the tools today back in 2001, yeah, they might have been able to find that needle in the haystack and prevented a tragedy that's impacted the nation as well as the country.
I agree. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to ask another question, follow-up to that, you know, because there's an awful lot of information that's collected. And I guess the million-dollar question is, who sits on this information?
Well, that's right. And it's as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think the president was this was one of the last decisions that he made. And earlier in the week, it was, I think, a different decision. He ultimately decided that the government, maybe not the NSA, but the government should hold the information. And as I understand, you know, based on what I know today, I think that that is the proper decision. You don't necessarily want AT&T or somebody else to hold all that information, Google, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But. You know, I wait for the arguments to go forward, but if that's what he decided, I think that it is. I think that, at least from what I know, that that's the correct decision.
What's your take on having a privacy representative at the FISA court?
Yeah,
does that seem practical to you?
You know what? If the more eyeballs that actually look at this, and there ought to be more than one, I think just to make sure that the privacy of Americans, that it really it's not a stretch, that it's not just a rubber stamp because they have FBI on their clothes or whatever, that it's automatically done, that, you know, that you the judge or the court needs to be convinced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like we have a jury of 12 people, you have to convince 12 people that that individual is guilty if they're in a court. You know, I don't know precisely how many people are usually engaged in that based on the scenario. I know they got emergency settings and whatever. But, yeah, I would not have a problem with having someone looking out over the privacy of folks, knowing that, in fact, if the case is made that, you know, whoever is planning to do something and there's real cause that it's going to happen, go ahead.
Yeah. But there has to be some rules
in
place. And that's why we frequently don't agree on some things, and I couldn't agree more that we can't do something this important to the country by executive order.
Yeah.
We need to have something that we're a country of laws. We're
That's
not
right.
a country of executive orders.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and there's also a difference between what has happened here within the geographic 50 states and what might happen in Sudan or Afghanistan or someplace else. There, mm-hmm. it's a whole different story. And the rules of the U.S. Constitution, in my view, don't apply to, you know, circumstances overseas.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on spying on allies? That's come up in
this.
Yeah,
you know, it is. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that come out. So, you know, let's just take a couple scenarios. So we had the situation over the last number of years with Iran and, you know, the sanctions that are in place.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have an agreement now that seems to be making some progress, by the way. Good news today, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been years in the making, years in place. And there were questions a number of years ago as to whether the Germans, you know, looking for access to certain equipment and, you know, financial dealings and, you know, economic doings, were they looking to violate those sanctions? Well, that's something that we probably would have wanted to know, even though the Germans traditionally are our allies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to be extremely careful about that. I know Brazil, probably rightly so, has got a real axe to burn. They've mm-hmm. they've indicated that. You know, it's – you know, they do it to us. I'll just – you know, so it's – you know, it's hard to establish a rule that whether your allies or your enemies are going to follow. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the best – I don't know if you can actually put something in concrete what's going on. I know that, you know, not only companies but countries try to spy and actually try to infiltrate our security system, whether it be at the Department of Energy dealing with our safety of our nuclear weapons or the Pentagon. And, you know, we saw what happened with Target. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, those are criminal elements for sure, but – in fact, there is some government-sponsored action by a number of countries that we would view as our allies, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton here on the show. And, Fred, I wanted to shift gears a little bit, if I may. There's some news that's coming out that's saying that healthcare.gov is pretty vulnerable to some of those online attacks and things like that. I mean, I've seen some headlines that said they were able to hack into it in 4 minutes. Does that concern you like it does me?
Well, it does, and it is a concern that our committee has raised in a number of times over the last number of months as to the security of the information that the individual themselves puts in to try and qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So the administration claimed all along that it's secure, but in fact, you know, they would, as we know, when they're having the big website problems, that you know, they did a lot of additional testing or whatever, but they didn't test it fully from end to end. And there was a concern that, in fact, that information would be vulnerable. Now, one of the ways that we wanted to have folks feel comfortable about that is we passed a bill on the House floor with a lot of bipartisan support. In fact, Gary Peters, who's the likely Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate here in Michigan to take mm-hmm. Carl Evans' place, he voted yes on this bill. But we said when the administration or, you know, whoever, when they know that there's been a breach, it is the responsibility to tell those individuals within 48 hours that, in fact, there's been a breach. Very much like what – and we're going to have a hearing, by the way, on Target, I want to say, in a week or another 2 weeks, I think, or so.
Mm-hmm.
But just like Target was able to, I think, inform, you know, literally as many as 100 million users – it's important because you might want to change your password. You might, you know, you're going to look at that bill. Maybe you'll call your credit card company, American Express or Discovery or whoever it is, just to make sure there are not some charges on there that otherwise you're going to get nailed for. I know a lot of folks, myself included, that have had the credit card information stolen from, and it's a real problem. And we're going to have the credit card companies come likely to testify as well. But the bottom line is to your question. Yes, it is a concern. No, I don't believe that the I do not believe that the information is perfectly safe. I don't think that every step has been taken to ensure that. I sure hope that we don't have abuses. But in the case that we do, we need to make sure that the consumer is going to be able to know. And we passed it with the president didn't like the bill, said that he was against it, but we had more than enough votes to override a veto. We passed it by well over 100 votes in the House 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll continue to oversee this.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, we are down to the last 30 seconds or so. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. So,
word is extended, right? I don't like that word. From harsh to extended.
Extended.
So, Fred, you're always welcome back anytime.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy.
Okay. Program continues ahead. Make sure you keep it right here. News is next.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.